I chose today for a topic to minister on, unless you repent. I think that the church as a whole, by looking at statistics and reports that I get being a minister, that the church has left out one very important element, and that is repentance, true repentance. And I believe we've drifted far from what God has intended for repentance to be. I still see our kids here today. Am I supposed to let them go, or did they already go? They're up there? Oh, we can go. Okay, our kids can go. I saw Lexi looking at me like, Papa, you're forgetting me. And I saw, yeah, amen. And we've got to learn to repent. We've got into this thing, well, I'm saved, I'm good, let's get to you. Okay, well, you got to repent of some things in your life too. You know, when you don't repent, that keeps you from drawing closer to God. You understand that, right? When you need to confess some things. Lord, I did that wrong, I handled that wrong, I said this wrong, Lord, I shouldn't have done that at all. And we got to repent of some things so we can acknowledge. See, when you don't repent, you're not. So the lack of repentance means that I don't acknowledge I've done wrong. And when you don't acknowledge you've done wrong, you just kind of get numb to that after a little while. And you just kind of skate on over that. And what used to be, what could, that conviction that used to bother you now without repentance don't bother you that much anymore. You've kind of gotten used to it. And so I want to talk to you on the topic for just a few minutes, unless you repent. In Luke chapter 13, verse 1 through 5, it says this, and there were present at the season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Don't let that confuse you. There were some people that was holding some sacrifices out in front of a temple. They were doing a little protest, if you will, and Pilate had him killed. Okay, that's what that really just boils down to. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose these Galileans were worse sinners than other Galileans? In other words, is there a degree of sin? Watch. He says, are these sinners worse than other Galileans because they suffered such things? Verse 3, I tell you, no. Jesus, no, there's not worse. Sin is sin. We want to categorize sin. Well, it's a little sin, so you're okay. That's a big sin, so you're in trouble. No, sin's sin in God's eyes. A little sin, big sin, there's no sin. There's no degree. It's just sin. And he says, no, if you're a bad sinner, you're a bad sinner. If you're a little bitty sinner, you're still a bad sinner. You're just a sinner. Sin is sin in God's eyes. Watch this in verse 4. Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all the other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? Jesus says, I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will also likewise perish. Verse 3, it says the same thing. I didn't finish that statement, but it says, no, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. Repentance has a dual meaning. Repentance means to confess, and it also means to turn from your ways. I talked to somebody about my sin, but we don't have the turning around from the sin and walking away from it. In the church, we want to do a 360 degree turn. Well, that puts you back where you started. We need a 180. If you're going this way, you need to go this way. When you come to follow Christ, guess what? The things that were over here, they're still over there. You need to be going in a different direction. But somehow, we believe that we can still get close to God and get our needs met and still keep doing the same things, but not unless you repent. Pastor, you're saying that I got saved. If I don't repent, I'm going to go to hell. Here's what I'm saying about that. Unless you repent, you're going to perish. Watch this. Your family can disintegrate and perish. Your marriage can disintegrate and perish. Your finances can disintegrate and perish. Things around you can perish. But you need to repent. We need to repent of our wrong. So what is sin and where did it come from? Well, there's a lot of definitions of sin. We're going to shorten the version, but I'm going to tell you what sin is in a nutshell. Sin, in four words, is disobedience to God's word. Saved, not saved, it doesn't matter. Disobedience to God. You can be saved and be disobedient to God's word. And it's sin. Disobedience to God's word. That's what sin is. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, listen to me. You have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree, watch this, of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. God could have made that tree okay to eat from, but the problem was he said, don't eat from it. And Adam disobeyed God's word. And that became sin. Thank you, Adam. It wasn't Eve's fault. It wasn't, he could have picked anything. God could have picked another tree, another fruit, but he said, don't eat of that one. And Adam disobeyed God's word, and it caused sin to come into his life, thus affecting you and I. And when you disobey God's word, when it's clear instructions and you disobey it, what you're doing is you're allowing the enemy to come into your life. Just like Adam disobeying God's word allowed Satan to come into the world, now it affects us. Guess what? The sin that you commit by disobeying God's word, it allows those things to come into your life, to come into your family, to come into your finances, to come into your marriage. That's what disobedience to God's word does. And you can be saved to the max and disobey God's word. You say, oh, preacher, I don't know about if I believe that. Well, you need to go back and read 2 Samuel chapter 12. King David had a little lust problem. He didn't put that to death. He was disobedient to God's word. And look at the effect. As a matter of fact, it was so profound. It made God so sick to his stomach. Thank God we're not in the Old Testament right now. It made God so sick to his stomach because David sinned. He said, the boy's going to die and a sword will be on your house forever. You go read David's sons. Tried to kill him, raped David's daughter, one of the brothers, so a brother raped a sister. They all fell by the sword. On David's deathbed, they was trying to take over. One of them was trying to kill him on his deathbed because of the disobedience to God's word. Sin has consequences, and unless you repent, there's going to be a problem. Sin does not go unpunished. Sin does not go unrecognized by God. You don't say, man, that was good. Boy, I'm new. You don't get to sweep it under the rug on Saturday or Friday and say, well, if I just do good and I really pray a lot on Sunday or on Saturday when I get to church, nobody's going to know. It doesn't matter if I know. It matters if God knows, and he knows and he sees. He sees your sin. He knows the intent of the heart. And unless we repent, there's a problem. Unless you repent, you perish. I didn't make it up. The Word of God says, unless you repent, you'll perish. So where did sin come from? Pretty easy. You know where I got the definition? Nope. My own life does come from the Word of God. But where does sin come from? Sin comes from the lack of desire to obey God's commands. When you're drawn away and enticed of your own what? Lust. That produces sin. That's what the Word of God says. And I see it in my life. I see it in your life. If we're honest, we see that sin comes from the lack of desire to follow God's commands. Don't look upon the woman to lust. Don't lie. Don't steal. Don't have covetous. Don't have hatred. Don't have jealousy in your heart. When we decide we don't want to do those things, we're disobedient. When we allow hatred, when we allow pain, and when we allow lust to come into our lives, when we allow these things to happen, guess what's going on? You're disobeying God's word, and you can love God. So we say, be disobedient to God's word. Preacher, I was wanting more of a feel-good message. Oh, this is a feely message. It feels like something, just ain't the feeling you wanted. But it is a feely message. Because when I'm done, you'll feel it. Not because I preach it, but because the Holy Spirit will convict. And you'll know where to repent. I'm not telling you where to repent. I'm just telling you got to repent. And I know you need to repent because you're human beings. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. Oh, let me go on and finish my statement of where did sin come from. The lack of desire to obey God's commands, or you can call it this, that free will of mankind. You got the free will to go sin if you want to, and you got the free will not to sin. You get to pick. I said, preacher, I don't know if I believe that. Well, then you go back and tell them, rewrite where Adam had the choice, because God handed it over and said, now look here, you can do anything, but you can't do that. It's a choice. He didn't tell him, mm-mm-mm. He said, here's a choice, don't eat of that, and here's what's going to happen. He told him in advance what was happening, and man got to make up their mind. You get to make up your mind. The Word of God is very clear. If you do this, this will happen. You let lust run rampant in your marriage, guess what's going to happen? Come on, you get the choice. You can either stop it, or you can allow it to happen. You want to be known as a liar? Well, the Bible says you're just not supposed to lie. Thou shalt not lie. But you can lie if you want to. It's your choice. You get to be a liar. Come on. Thou shalt not murder. But you can murder if you want to. Well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, there's a lot of people, there's been people murdered since I've been preaching this message this morning in the world. Now, you can murder if you want to. It's called free will. It's called a choice that you get to make. The reason the world is so crazy and the way it is, is because the lack of obeying God's word. You'd all be murderers and thieves and liars if God's mercy, you hadn't found it. I'm telling you where I'd be. If I had to stumble on God's mercy and grace. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 says, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. There's the option. I'm telling you not. It's like getting the answer to the test before you get the test. And you still fail. Well, you're a dummy. Think about it. He gave him the answer to the test before the test was administered and said, don't do this and don't do this. But if you do this, it's going to be the answer. This is what's going to happen. Poor old Adam, caught up in his lust for his wife to make her happy. Woo! Said, well, I think I'll just, she ate it, so I'll eat it. I wonder what would have happened if the story had changed just a little bit. I wonder what it would happen if only Eve had it taken, because he never commanded Eve, really. I wonder if the story would have changed if Adam said, now, woman, you made a mistake. God said, don't do that, and we're not going to do that. I'm not going to protect. I wonder if it would have changed anything. Well, I bet. I'm not adding to the Bible. Don't go say preachers add to the Bible. Think, no. I'm just telling you, see, there's an option. There's options to follow God's word, to be obedient, or there's an option to be disobedient. That's your two options. It's multiple choice. You got a 50-50 chance to get this thing right. Really? Yeah. I knew a guy I went to school with. He was dumb as a box of rocks. Do you hear me? I don't think he spelled his name, get it right, and it was his. I believe if you told him how to spell it, he'd mess it up. We went to take the ACT together. We got in that class over there taking that test. And I mean, you know, we had 4 or 5 sections. I forget, it's been a minute since I've done that. And I'm through the third question, and he's done. Made a 20 on his ACT. I thought, well, something wrong with that. I said, what'd you do? He said, I started at the top. First question was A. Second question was B. Third question was C. Fourth question is D. And then when I got to the fifth question, start back over. A, B, C, D, A, B. And went through the whole test doing that whole thing. Now, I know he ain't that smart. He took advantage of the situation. Say, you know what? I had a 50-50 chance it's going to work. It kind of worked for him. To his good. Saint rocket science. You either obeying, listen to me, you either obeying or you're disobeying. You're either obeying or you're disobeying. And when you disobey, that's sin. And unless you repent, that thing's going to get you. Preacher said, I'm going to hell. I didn't say, that thing will get you. If you're sinning and intentionally sinning, you're going to go to hell. Intentional sin, premeditated sin, sends you to hell. Period. Quiet. Verse 17, here's the answer to the options of Genesis chapter 2:16. Says, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree you may eat of freely, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. Here it is. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. If you eat of it, you're going to die. You know why it wasn't a problem for for Adam to do this? He didn't know what dying meant. That wasn't a topic. I mean, come on, we're just a couple of chapters into this thing called the Bible. Man didn't take, that's right, it didn't take long for man to figure out, I'm dummy. If I don't do what God says, nothing's really going to happen right that I know of. I've said it for years. The reason the world's the way it is because there's no instant penalty for sin. Come on. And there's no instant gratification for doing right. Because we're in the world, we want it right now. We want our results now. We want the attaboys right now. We don't want to wait on either one of them. But boy, if I tell you what, if sin had a penalty that was now, just like the Old Testament, I'd be dead. Do you hear what I'm saying? I would have died at an early age. I wouldn't have made it. Let me move on. I'm going to hurry. I'm going to finish up here and be done. Unless you repent of your sinful ways, the option is hell. You will not enter heaven on how good you are. That's not one of the requirements. It didn't work in the Old Testament. And God said, that ain't working. These people ain't getting it. I wonder if God looked at Adam when I don't know how long Adam had been around. I mean, on the sixth day, which is a chapter before he made man, I don't know how far it was between there and the tree. I don't know if it was a day, 2 days, 6. I don't know. Nobody really knows. Here's what I know. It was a short time, very short time. And I wonder if God said, what happened? What happened to him? I wonder if the Godhead got together. By the way, that's God, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And they had a meeting and said, did we leave that part out of his brain where he didn't understand the question? Because we told him if he'd done this, he'd die. Watch. You can't get there being good enough. Romans 3:20 says this, therefore by the deeds of the law, watch this, I'm going to show you how much flesh will be justified. By the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. You can't be good enough and do good enough times to be justified in God's sight. You got to repent. Goes on to say this, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law brings the knowledge of sin that you're doing wrong. If you've been to this church any length of time, you kind of know if you're doing right or wrong, because we kind of teach right or wrong here. You will not enter heaven because you're elected to go. You will not enter heaven because you do good things. You will not go to heaven because you have church membership. You will not go to heaven because you're the pastor. You will go to heaven when you repent of your sins and ask Jesus to come into your heart and you try your best to live according to God's word and not be disobedient to it. That's how you get to heaven. You will enter heaven when you repent of your sinful ways. The Bible teaches in Romans that you're to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. That's the way to heaven. That's the way to becoming obedient to God's word. When you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus died and has been raised and sits on the right hand of the Father, you believe that and you put your faith in it, now you can say, okay, that's my first step in being obedient to God's word. You don't have to. You don't have to. You don't have to believe in God. You don't have to repent. You don't have to go to heaven.
You don't have to go to hell. It's your choice. That's so cool. Sometimes I wish he just said, you're going to heaven. I could almost be a Calvinist. Hey, let's go. Did I say that out loud? I meant to. It's either all, you're either all in or you're all out. There ain't no partial nothing. Come on, somebody. If you believe that you can be half in and half out and make it to heaven, you're badly mistaken. The Bible says unless you repent and you obey God's word, you're in trouble. You'll likewise perish. Don't be mistaken. Don't be mistaken. You're either for him or you're against him. That's what the Bible says. You're either with me or you're not with me. You're either going to go to heaven or you're not going to heaven. You don't get halfway there and say, well, we're going to put you a little holding thing and we're going to make you act better and do better. We'll get you a little circle and you're going to go round and round in here and we're going to train you to be better than you come on to heaven. No, if you don't make it the first go around, there ain't a second. If you don't repent of your sins, unless you repent, you're going to hell. Preacher, that's awful rough this morning. Well, hell's going to be rough. I don't want you to go there. I'm trying to give you an option. It's up to you whether you do it or not. You will enter heaven when you put your faith in Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. That's how you get to heaven. You put your faith that God can remove my stained, guilty sin from my life and make me okay in the sight of God because of his blood. That's how you get to heaven. That's how you have remission of sins. That's how they're washed away. It's the only way to get there. I'm going to close with this. If you want to play some music or you want to come to the piano, you don't have to do anything. It doesn't make me any difference. I think God's already doing his thing. Romans 3:22 says this, even the righteousness of God, watch this, through faith in Jesus Christ, watch what I'm fixing. You don't need to watch, you need to hear it. Is it on the board up here? Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. To some of you. Well, how you know it says all? How you know it is? Well, what? Well, you believe the word? Do you believe the word? So you believe it's for all of us? Come on. To all and on all. Watch this. Here's what you got to do, though. It's there. It's like a prize. It's right there. And it's to all and on all that do what? Tell me you ain't got a choice. He gives you the option. It's here for all, to all, on all, if you choose to believe. You ain't got to believe. You can get your sanctimonious self and go march right on into hell if you want to. But you better believe, because if you don't believe on Jesus Christ, that's where you're going. What I'm doing is I'm exposing the sin in your life through the scripture. That disobedience to God's word is sin to him. And you got to deal with your sin as I got to deal with mine. Come on, somebody. If we're going to see signs, wonders, miracles, and power in the church, we got to get the sin out of the camp. Well, I got a message I could preach on that. I preached 20 years ago on sin in the camp. For there is no difference. Verse 23. For all, how many in this room have sinned? Not just today.
We've all sinned and we've all fall short of the glory of God. Watch this. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's a free gift that he gives to us that we experience. We walk in faith because we believe that he has died on the cross. He shed his blood. Were you there? No, you weren't there. Nobody in this room was there at the cross. You read it where? In the Bible. And you believe the Bible to be true. And so you choose, watch here, man, this is just good stuff. And so you choose to what? Believe the Bible. Okay? So you gotta take, that's faith. I choose to believe what I have not seen. I wasn't there to witness it. I wasn't there to experience it. I only know what has been read, and I choose to believe it. Just like reading an encyclopedia. They don't do that anymore. It's Wikipedia, I think, now. We grew up, there was an encyclopedia. Every home had one, 47 volumes, whatever. Look up anything you want. And when you read something, you believed it to be true because it's in the book. Well, if you truly believe this because it's in the book, then you've got to walk by faith, God's grace, big old press call salvation. It's his grace by his mercy. And his grace. He says, here, I want you to have this. But you and I, we have to, by faith, believing that it's really available, step into underneath the gift of salvation. When you do that, you have become obedient to God's word. Confess with that, believe in your heart, okay? And then you get justified. You're justified in him. The wrong that I do, I'm justified because my faith is in Christ Jesus. And you can still have a boo-boo moment. You can still sin and be a Christian. You can have an uh-oh moment, Bobby. You can have an uh-oh moment. Shouldn't have done that. Oh, grace and mercy comes in, floods your soul, and you repent. Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have participated in that gossip. And I'm sorry of that, Lord. Help me. I repent. Forgive me of that. Guess what that does? That when you do that, you're acknowledging that there was a sin nature around you, and you acknowledge, I need to be better in that area, and I'm going to step toward Christ. Come on, this is good stuff. The Christians need to hear this. By the way, he's talking to the church at Rome. In John, the Gospel of John, and I like this one. It's not even John 3:16. What? The beloved John 3:16? Oh, you're missing something if you start at 3:16 too. Go to John 3:15. That whoever believes in him should not perish. Wait a minute. Whoa, what did it say a while ago? That if we're disobedient to God's word, we're going to perish? He says, if I believe in him, I trust in him, I put my faith in him, it says that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. What are the options if I put my trust in him? If I believe in him? If I believe him, there's one option. I'm eternally in heaven with him. So you got to ask yourself a question from John 3:15. If I don't believe, what happens? Because we know what happens if we believe. Whoever believes will go to heaven. Well, if there's a way to believe, there's got to be some other system of unbelief. Come on, God gives you options. How many of you believe God gives you options? How many of you know you didn't have to come to church this morning? You didn't even have to get out of bed this morning. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What did he do? He loved the world. He loved the world so much. You know who the world is? It wasn't just for when this Bible was written. That's why I believe this thing still exists today. That's why I believe that God is still very much who the same God back then as he is today. Because he said, if it would only apply to when this book was written, then you and me, we can't be saved. It's impossible. Because it would only apply to then. But God extends it where it's to us now. And he's talking about salvation. But anything that God promises in his word is available today. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Same thing, just an amplified scripture of 15. Same thing, just added a couple more words. But it's the same verse. Verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now that word might, that's a word there that gives you an option to go one way or the other. I'm not an English person. I don't even know. There's a word for that. I don't know what it is. That the world might be saved. That also means there's an option that you don't have to be saved. It might happen. It might not happen. You might get saved. You might not get saved. It's all up to you. Because the prior verse says, whoever believes on him, whoever believes in him, shall be saved. Unless you repent, you're going to perish. If you've never put your faith and hope in Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you've never put your faith and your hope in Jesus Christ, confessed him as Lord, you're going to go to hell. That's the way it works, Rusty. You're going to go to hell. But if you put your faith and trust in him, you repent, you're going to have eternal life with him. I'm going to step on a limb while it's bending already. And you can get saved to the max. And you go out here and you keep participating in sin and you willfully sin, the Bible says that you can fall away from God. That ain't something I'd want to try. Preacher, I don't believe you're right. Doesn't matter whether you believe I'm right or not. It's what the Bible teaches. I can show you scripture after scripture that you can walk away from God after coming to the knowledge of Christ and go and bust it wide open as if you've never been there. I don't believe all this stuff. I said some mamby-amby prayer and I'm good eternity. Well, if you're out there acting like a fool and you go willfully sin and you're intentional about it and you got premeditated sin, I don't think so. I don't think that's what Scripture teaches. There's an eternal position for you. But it ain't heaven. I'll teach on that. I'll teach on that real soon. You know I love you. I want you to repent of what's going on in your life. I got to repent of things going on in my life. I do it every day. Every day I have to say, Lord, I shouldn't have done that, said that, been that way, had that attitude, or whatever it is, my big long list is. Sometimes I do so much bad stuff, I don't even get through the list. Doesn't mean I'm not trying. Doesn't mean you're not trying. Repent of your wrong. Turn toward Christ. Run to Him. He's full of mercy and He's full of grace. And if he isn't, none of us stand a chance. None of us stand a chance. Father, I love you and I thank you. Lord, if there's anyone in this room that needs to repent of, they've just never really confessed you. They've really never put their trust in you. I'm talking about get off in the boat with you, Lord. I'm not talking about one boat, one foot on the sand and one in the boat. I'm talking about get off in the boat with you, Lord. If there's people in this room like that, I pray that the convicting power of the Holy Ghost would just move on them, Lord, till they confess you as Lord, till they make up their mind, they're going to serve Christ. Lord, let them know that, Lord, it's their choice. Father, I thank you. And I worship you and I praise you. Lord, and there's people like myself in this room that need to repent of wrong. Attitudes, sinful things we've done and said and heard and seen, participated in. Lord, we repent today. And Lord, upon the repenting, we are asking, Lord, that your presence and your power would so fill each individual person that when we come together collectively, we have the power of the Holy Ghost working in amongst ourselves so that there are deliverances, there's freedom, there's healings, Lord, there's salvations, Lord, in your name, because the church is ridding itself of the sinful nature that so easily creeps in. Lord, your word says that we sin when we're drawn away of our own lustful desires, when we're enticed. That's when we sin. Lord, help us to recognize those lustful things in our lives, to see them over there before they get on our front porch. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for revealing what needs to be repented of in my life, in our lives as a church. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you, Father. As we fast this starting tomorrow, as we fast, I want you, if you don't have anything in your life that you need to get rid of, which you do, if there's not any issues in your life, if you're not sick, if you have all your little stuff in it, all your little ducks are walking in the right row, amen, okay? Pick somebody else to pray for and fast for. We're a small church. We know everybody's everything. You're in Lake Village, Arkansas. I can tell you what happened to you before you even knew it happened to you here. Come on, somebody. That's the way Lake Village works. Any small town. Amen? But if you say, I'm good, then pick somebody in the church. Will you pray for them? Will you lift them? Will you fast and seek God on the behalf of our church, on the behalf of what you need in your life? Fasting draws us closer to God. When you do without food, in summary, just real quick, when you do without food, that's that life-giving substance, and you're saying, I'm doing without that, and I'm leaning on the one who can give me living water and living bread, if you will, the bread of life. You're saying, Lord, I'm empty. I don't even need this. I'm leaning on you.
And I'm fasting. I'm denying self so that you may come into me and fill me up more and more. Amen. Don't be surprised if the enemy makes you mad at your wife or your husband or your friends or somebody in the church. That's the way he works this thing. Come on. The reason you're probably having trouble right now is because God wants to do something in your life. God's got some great big plan for you, and the enemy knows he can get that aborted early. Come on. I believe Satan does that. I believe people come get saved and he gives them an abortion pill before they get back there, abortion of the gospel before they get back to the seat. That's what I believe. Hey, take this, it's good for you. He's trying to abort the gospel before it ever gets a seed. It's in the word of God. Sometimes it don't take seed, don't take root. Don't let a confrontation in your family or a friend or a coworker or a boss, don't let that divert you from fasting this week. You're already in hell. Why not? You're already going. But let's just walk through it and at least have some good results at the end. Because I believe that the Bible says that if I draw nigh to God, number one, resist the devil, number two, he'll flee. We want him to flee without the drawing and all that stuff. We don't want to draw nigh to God. We just want him to flee. We don't want to resist nothing. We just want him to go. That's not the way it works. Well, how do you know it doesn't work? Because the Bible says, draw nigh to God, the devil, and then he'll flee. That's what he said. I don't get to make up the rules. I just get to repeat them to you. And I got to live by them. And you got to live by them. Amen? It's called a choice. I love you. Hope to see you on Wednesday. I hope you fast this week. I hope you fast. I hope you come and say, my God, you know what God's doing in my life? He's just cleaning me all out. I don't need to know everything. Come on, somebody. You can have fun and be okay in God's house. Amen? Let me bless you, Father. I bless your people. Father, I pray that your face would shine upon us as we go through this fast. God, I pray that we would find favor with God and with man. I pray that job promotions, raises, prosperity, increase. Lord, increase in spiritual things would come our way. Lord, that peace would blanket every rooftop so that when we lay down this afternoon or this evening, that sweet sleep would come to our spiritual souls and physical bodies. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen and amen and amen. God bless you. See you on Wednesday. Pick you out sometime to fast.